Support for this podcast and the following message come from Lagunitas Brewing Company, challenging the status quo and crafting stories along the way. Featuring a wide range of innovative craft brews and non-alcoholic options, it's good to have friends. Learn more at Lagunitas.com.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan in a room with Lars Gotridge.
Hey, Bob. Nice to see you.
Yeah, indeed. This happens, you know, now we're doing this once a month, so at least I get to see you at the top of every month.
I try to come into the office.
Yeah, we have these concerts and stuff that are fun.
I saw there's this little band called U2 that I came into the office for. They were pretty, I think they're going places.
And for those, this will come out before that comes out, but Bono and The Edge were here and did something very special I'm not going to tell you about.
It was great. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah, they took up the challenge really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. One of the things that we're going to try to do is play music like you always do, Viking Choice, and turn me on to lots of music. We're going to go back and forth and stuff, and sometimes it's kind of out there music, but you're going to start off with something that feels like it could be on a sort of normal episode of All Songs Considered.
This one's for the normies, everybody. Bob, you didn't listen to radio in the early 90s.
No, I stayed away from
like
that.
Music, like, yeah. Not like, obviously you were listening to NPR because you were directing All Things Considered at the time. But I was listening to radio in the 90s, and I have very fond memories of like turning the radio down low late at night, listening to the pop station in Atlanta, which was Star 94, and, you know, they would play things like Sophie B. Hawkins and TLC and Sixpence None the Richer and things like that. And it felt like a thing that I wasn't allowed to like because little boys weren't allowed to like pop music, which is so silly. But, you know, as a young boy surrounded by a bunch of other boys, it was like, you have to like, you know. But then you turn the dial down just a little bit, and there's the college radio station, which turns you on to like this whole other world of music.
Yeah, that was what was lacking in D.C. That died here. That's why I didn't listen to music on the radio.
So the first band we're going to play is a group called Daisies, and they feel like the radio bleed through from the college radio station to the pop, to like the FM pop station. It's like a little bit Sundays. It's a little bit Sixpence. It's a little bit the Coors or the Cranberries or something like that. It's soft and light, but there's a little bit of an edge to it. And this is the song called Is It Any Wonder?
We thought we saw a man hanging around the trash can on the corner of 4th. He's the last man of a one-man band. Upstairs, nobody cares. We were better in love. We were better in love. We were better in love. I was out on anybody out there? Does anybody
Daisies, I don't know them at all. They've been around a while? Or?
They've been around for a minute, but this is they're new to me. They're a duo. Valerie Warren is the singer, and Chris McDonald. He's actually been on a bunch of bands that I do love. He's done groups called CCFX, CC Dust, and a group called the County Liners. And most of those groups were with a different singer. Her name's Mary Jane Dunphy, who I really like a lot. The label Perino Records sent me a package of records, and this was included in it. And I was listening to it, and it's called Great Big Open Sky. Has a nice like cowboy with his boots up on a front porch on the album artwork. And I'm like, what is this? Because the song you just heard, like I said, is like a little mix of like 90s college radio and 90s AM pop. But the album itself kind of like is a melange of like 90s trip hop and twee and punk. And you can spot the reference much in the way that, you know, that Crushed album that you featured on the show recently. Yeah. You can spot the reference and you're like, oh, I hear this. So that's kind of what the fun part of it. But the way that Daisies puts everything together is just so satisfying. So I've kind of like gone back to their catalog, and they've made like straight up like dance pop bangers like Robin. And but they've also done...
I wouldn't have heard that in this.
Yeah, like Beat Happening, kind of like twee. And it's just, they're kind of all over the place. So it's kind of like unapologetically pop music, but kind of like the spectrum of it. And I love this record.
And the record's a Great Big Open Sky. Is it out?
It is coming out May 12th. This is the premiere of the first single.
Awesome. I want to go to Anna B. Savage, who NPR Music's loved now, I think, I'm going to say about 7 years at this point. And you a fan?
Yeah, I haven't kept up with her as much, so I was curious about this record. I want to hear more about it.
It's quite remarkable. And one of the things I love about her is the intimacy in what you hear. Sometimes it feels like she's kind of going to whisper, like a friend is going to tell you a story or some kind of secret, or maybe you're able to like stand next to her and hear what thoughts are going on in her head when she does this sort of speak-singing kind of thing, mm-hmm. which you'll hear at the beginning of the song I'm going to play. But then she's got this, when she really wants to emote, she's got this really potent, powerful, beautiful voice. She's a London singer. I want to play a song that has all of those elements in it, and the song is called The Ghost.
Cool. Can't wait to hear it.
And he was like, look, when we used to brush our teeth, I would brush our teeth thinking that it was gonna be forever. But it wasn't.
We used to notice the same things. His toenails, that little pug. But that changed. You couldn't see the grave. Didn't seem to notice me deep in the ground. I couldn't move, I called out to you, but made no sound. Thought you were gone, but 4 years on, you're back again. Thought you were gone. but 5 years on, you're back again. Stop haunting me. Stand and look around the cushions, the grey ground, your perfume. Thought you were gone, but 6 years on, you're back again. Stop haunting me.
Everywhere. It's like under my nails.
Be Savage. What'd you think?
I like that. Well,
oh, yeah!
We'll come right back to that.
Do you want to start that over?
No, I don't, actually. I'm going to leave it. Yeah, yeah.
I like that a lot. I have forgotten that Anna B. Savage, we've been following her for a while, like for a number of years, and I didn't realize that her debut album actually only came out 2 years ago, but I guess she's released a lot of EPs and singles that our team has particularly liked, and it's been a while since I've listened to her, but this felt different. This felt from what I remember about her. You know what it actually kind of reminded me of, especially when I was listening to the lyrics? You remember the UK band Wild Beasts?
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me of them, where it's like the pulsing electronics, the very, like, bravado voice and kind of, like, haunted sexuality, basically. Oh. Well, because that's what the song seems
all about.
That's the song, what I seem to gather from, that she's haunted by this relationship. And instead of, like, where Wild Beasts would kind of, like, make it super sexy and a little bit dangerous, like, Anna B. Savage is, like, really opening up the emotional landscape of that relationship.
Both the intimate, very intimate part about brushing teeth together and things like that.
Yeah.
And textually, what's going on is she's working with producer Mike Lindsay here. And the project that Mike Lindsay did with Laura Marling was called Lump.
Right.
And so he deals a lot with electronics and textures and stuff. But what I love about the sound of this record, and you're saying it's different for her, I think it's fuller and richer, obviously. But also, I think his technique, or their working together technique, is much more purposeful. Like, when there's an effect on the voice, it's not to just put an effect on the voice through the song, but there are moments in the song that really punctuate the kind of message she's trying to tell. And it's so easy. I play with electronics and that stuff all the time, and it's really, really easy to just put something on and there it is and just leave it on. And effect-wise, I'm talking about. But if you could just find that moment, and if you go back and listen to that song, there's these deep vocals underneath her vocals. There's little delays at moments that just feel just right. I've only gone through and listened to this full album. The full album is called In Flux, and it just came out. Only once. I need a good deep dive into it. There's much to be heard, so Anna B. Savage.
I need to listen to this album. I like that song.
Good. And so in my wonderful job of running the board while we have a conversation, we got a little peek into something that was right. Very
now,
different.
And now for something completely different.
Where are we going?
Bob, I feel like I should just introduce the band and then we need to hear the song. Everybody, this is Pest Control.
Morning, Lars.
Pest Control.
Yeah. Oh. Wow.
The name of the album, Don't Test the Pest.
Is that true?
Yeah, Don't Test the Pest. 11 songs, 22 minutes.
Wow.
The song we heard was called Total Distraction.
I know nothing about them, so but yes.
Pest Control, a band formed basically near the beginning of the pandemic, where it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, oh, I don't have anything to do. I want to start a band. You know, that seems to be the mode. Pest Control is based out of the UK. They were members of the band that were in other like-minded thrashy bands, and so they came together to put together Pest Control. And I remember the demo being great. And so this is the debut album. Here's the thing about thrash. So the thing that Pest Control does is specifically called crossover thrash. So crossover is basically where hardcore and thrash meet.
Okay, so what would be the difference? Because the speed?
Yeah, the speed, sometimes like the oomph of it, if that makes sense. Crossover tends to be more fun, I guess, is like a way to think about it, instead of like devilish. I don't know.
Anything message-wise that...
No, particularly. Yeah. I mean, sometimes crossover kind of gets labeled as party thrash, but that's not always like the case.
Okay.
The subgenre of metal, like you can get into the weeds very quickly. Point being, this band from the UK, they take kind of like the best parts of American thrash bands like Slayer and Metallica, and kind of like infuse it with the kind of like the more hardcore underpinnings, especially of Slayer. And then you think a little bit later with Power Trip, RP, Riley Gale, miss you all the time.
Okay.
Thrash is very easy to get like technical too quickly and kind of like lose the urgency and the heart behind it. The way that like riffs quickly move from one thing to the other and how they will stop and take a breath to kind of like pound on the floor for like 10 seconds and then go right back into it. Mm-hmm. It's very artful and crafty the way that Pest Control puts those parts together in a way that is very fun. Like, I'm going to describe the album cover to you. It's giant alien bugs dissecting a human. So, like, intestines are coming out. The human appears to still be alive. You know, all the lyrics are about basically that the human race are the pests. So the aliens have come to, like, take us out, basically. It's just there a very 80s thrash kind of, like, thing.
Amazing. So Total Distraction's a song, Pest Control is a group, and it's out?
It's out. It's out. It's been out for a couple of weeks, and I've been enjoying the hell out of it.
Awesome. We have to take a break, and here we go. But when we come back, look, a little more serene, maybe more thoughtful side of... Maybe
I had to bring something heavy and fast to the show.
There's blood flowing in parts of my tips of my fingers and toes that weren't doing
that
before.
Watch out for that buck behind you.
Uh-oh. And you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
Over the past couple decades, the U.S. has lost about a third of its newspapers, taking thousands of local journalists off their beats. A functioning democracy and functioning local journalism go hand in hand. We're trying to do our part, and that's why we need you to do your part. Make sure that the NPR network stays strong by supporting us at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
The NPR app cuts through the noise, bringing you local, national, and global coverage. No paywalls, no profits, no nonsense. Download it in your app store today.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days. The perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, and here with Lars Gotrich. And Lars, I don't know if you've heard this yet. This is, I want to play Neil Gaiman.
The writer, I know his comic books mostly.
Oh, okay. There you go. So anyway, he's teamed up with this string quartet. So one of the things I love about life is how one thing can lead to another. Like something, you do something and you unexpectedly, years later, turns into something completely different. And so here Neil Gaiman, who's a writer for, as you say, besides the comics you love, The Sandman.
He did American Gods and basically like some of the most beloved and important literature of the last couple decades.
Yeah, and here he's a lead voice on this album that he did with this group Fourplay, Fourplay, string quartet. They initially met backstage at the Sydney Opera House. The quartet was commissioned to write a soundtrack to Gaiman's novel, The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountains. And to shorten a really long story, they fell in love with this project and decided to make a record together. It's storytelling with a soundtrack in a very beautiful way. So I'll play something called In Transit.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
to find the many in the one. He sweated under foreign skies to see the stars behind the sun. So space and time were now undone. Reality was undisguised. We found the many in the one. We stare at photographs, but none could show the mind behind the eyes. He saw the stars behind the sun. Not with a sword or knife or gun, a simple picture severed ties. He found the many in the one. Light bends around us, so we run. As gravity reclassifies the stars we saw behind the sun. To see the world beyond the skies, to touch the mind behind the eyes, to find the many in the one. He showed us stars behind the sun. Unfucked, or anyway, retiring in the awkward sense. Retirement will never be an option. The gruff gentleman with the cap who understands what the numbers mean remembers a bicycle ride when he was younger. The smoke of the cigarettes he does not smoke kick at his lungs, mixing with the buzz of the booze he doesn't ever drink. A convivial pint after the ride into the country gave him such a thirst, and afterwards they lay on their backs in the stubble, staring up at the stars together. All the stars. Countable as the words in a Bible. Countable as the hairs on his friend's head. All accountable, and that is why they never truly touched. The shadow of prison, or disgrace perhaps, moving between them, like the shadow of an eclipse. And in another life, at another time, to see the stars behind the sun, he takes his photographs, fighting the cloud cover, becoming the thing that happened in Principe when he proved that the German was right, that light had weight. Half a year after the armistice, a popularizer, but not courting popularity. Somewhere, a boy is counting stars. Somewhere, a man is photographing light. Somewhere, his finger strokes the stubble on another's cheek. And for a moment, everything is relative.
Wow. I didn't at first know what that song was about. That's Neil Gaiman speaking, obviously, and the four-play quartet backing him. It's a tune that's about the astronomer Sir Arthur Stanley Eddington. He's the person who proved Einstein's theory of relativity and studying the stars and so forth. And so if you want to rewind and go back and listen for that, because it was beautiful poetry, but I couldn't make the connections. Who's the German he's talking about, all that stuff. So
right.
It's really amazing.
Spoken word over music is always a tricky proposition for me.
Mm-hmm.
It, for me, it always runs the risk of like William Shatner doing Common People.
Meaning sounding like a spoof?
Or just kind of like, just like talking dramatically over a tune, yeah.
Right,
you know.
Right, right.
No shade to William Shatner. Love William Shatner.
Right, right.
But like, that's the thing that like often happens for me with spoken word. If spoken word is going to be part of a song, I only want it to be a snippet of the song. I don't want it to be the whole thing, because the spoken word highlights the thing that you want your listener to hone in most on. But I will say this. I'm curious about this record. I do like the way that the arrangement played with Neil Gaiman's cadence here and there. And he would sometimes there would be like a pizzicato that like hit directly into his cadence, and other times they draw out those strings and give it a little bit of noise to emphasize what is happening or to give discord to whatever's happening at the time.
Lots of discord at the end.
Yes, I was into that.
I saw you glaze and go into another world and come back for
yes.
the rest of the show. So the album from Neil Gaiman and Australia's four-play string quartet is coming out at the end of April. It's called Signs of Life. I'm eager to dive in and listen to the stories. He's such a good writer, and the imagery is so beautiful. So where are you taking me?
We're kind of going to a lot of different places at the same time.
Okay, I'll pack a lunch.
The Mohammed Sattari Trio released an album in January that I just came across recently called Istelal, which...
Can I spell that?
It's... they spell it... I've seen several spellings of this word. It's an Arabic word, Istelal, and it's the act of making something haram or forbidden, but making it halal. Permissible. And this is a trio, members from Iran, India, and Romania, and from Syria.
Wow.
And the instruments are the tar, which is kind of a long stringed instrument with sympathetic strings, tabla, and percussion, and oud, which is what Mohammed Sattari plays. And so they're bringing together all these worlds and traditions, and I believe that the group is based out of Germany, making this absolutely beautiful, incredible music. There are lots of really great songs on this album, but I had to pick the one called Black Tea because I am the tea.
You know, I saw that and wondered about that.
Okay. I am a tea drinker. I'm a tea nerd. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
So wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Black tea.
Black tea, a beverage I enjoy quite a bit. I came across the Mohammed Zatari Trio because I follow this label called Zera, based out of Germany, on Bandcamp. And they reissued the Malim Makhmuganya record that he did with Pharoah Sanders.
Oh.
And they did a Master Musicians of Jigjuka reissue as well. So, like, my jam, you know, it's like, oh, okay, I'm with you, I'm with you. And it's this thing that I think I've talked about on the show before is, like, you learn to trust record labels, and you see their taste and you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. And so I've been following the label. They do a lot of reissues, and this is one of their first, like, new artists. I just immediately fell in love with this music because, I love music that takes from different cultures and traditions and respects them, but messes them up. And I read an interview with Mohammed who said, you need a reference in creation to start from, but the future for someone is a tradition for someone else.
Yeah, nicely put.
Yeah, like I was like, yes, exactly, thank you. And the piece that I picked, Black Tea, there are actually several iterations of this composition.
You mean on the record, on the album?
On YouTube. I was curious, so it's like I wanted to see them play.
Yeah.
And there are a bunch of like nice videos on YouTube. You can watch them play their instruments. And
is there one for this song? Because if so, we'll put that up.
There are several different versions. Like there's earlier versions of this song that have like a different percussionist, not on tabla, and a different string instrument besides the tar. And I like those, but I love what the tar player, her name is Sarah Islami, the tabla player is named, and I'm going to do my best with this name, Avadhat Kasandahuni. They bring so much light and energy to this composition by Mohammed Zatari that was sort of there in the earlier versions, but there's a cut that happens about halfway through. I was like, I know that rhythm, but I don't know what it's called. And Mohammed actually explains it in this interview where he's like, it's the Dabka rhythm. And basically the Dabka rhythm is, it comes from the Middle East, and what it does, it basically gives it a little spurt of energy. It's like it's kind of a joyful little dance. That's what the song was missing, but it was basically his new bandmates that kind of like changed the song for him,
awesome.
Like in the process of composition.
So can we put a video up of the three of these people playing it? Is there one of those?
Performance video?
Great. Well, let's do that because that'd be kind of cool. I'd like to see that too. And are all the songs instrumental on this record?
All the songs are instrumental. Most of them are written, composed by Mohammed Zatari, but there are also some interpretations of Egyptian and Iranian composers as well.
Cool. So I'm going to take us out on a trio. Very different cultures mixing in this trio. Vijay Iyer, the composer, piano player, amazing jazz musician that many NPR listeners have heard lots of over the years. Arush Aftab, who's a singer whose Vulture Prince record was just a favorite of all of ours and still knocks me out.
That Tiny Desk Home concert that she released is so, so, so good.
Yeah, yeah. And with her on that was Shahzad Ismaili, who's also playing on this record in this trio that the three of them have done. He's a drummer at times. He's a guitar player at times. He's a bass player, whatever.
He does everything. Yeah.
I think on this one, he's probably doing all the textures and layers that are going on here. It's a while before you actually get to hear Arush Aftab start to sing, but that's okay because you get like sucked into this this beautiful world. This is the opposite of Pest Control.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's the opposite of Pest Control. It's about 9 minutes long. How long was Pest Control?
Under 2 minutes.
It takes a while for things to develop here. How long did Pest Control take to develop?
Seconds.
Yeah, right. So the name of the project for this trio is called Love in Exile, and we're going to go out on the tune To Remain, To Return. So, Lars, enjoy. Always good to do this with you.
Thanks for having me again, Bob.
You're welcome. And Fair PR Music, it's all songs considered.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
Every weekday, NPR's best political reporters come to you on the NPR Politics Podcast to explain the big news coming out of Washington, the campaign trail, and beyond. We don't just want to tell you what happened, we tell you why it matters. Join the NPR Politics Podcast every single afternoon to understand the world through political eyes.
Numbers that explain the economy. We love them at The Indicator from Planet Money. And on Fridays, we discuss indicators in the news, like job numbers, spending, the cost of food, sometimes all three.
So my indicator is about why you might need to bring home more bacon to afford your eggs.
Ba-doom.
I'll be here all week.
Wrap up your week and listen to The Indicator podcast from NPR.